The scripture reading today comes from Mark, the chapter 1, verses 21 through 45. It is a little bit of a longer reading, and it's from the Common English Bible. Jesus and his followers went into Capernaum. Immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and started preaching. The people were amazed by his teaching, for he was teaching them with authority, not like the legal experts. Suddenly, there in the synagogue, a person with an evil spirit screamed, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One from God." "Silence," Jesus said, speaking harshly to the demon. "Come out of him." The unclean spirit shook him and screamed. Then it came out. Everyone was shaken and questioned among themselves, "What's this? A new teaching with authority? He even commands unclean spirits and they obey him." Right away, the news about him spread throughout the entire region of Galilee. After leaving the synagogue, Jesus, James, and John went home with Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed, sick with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she served them. That evening at sunset, people brought to Jesus those who were sick or demon-possessed. The whole town gathered near the door. He healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases, and he threw out many demons. But he didn't let the demons speak because they recognized him. Early in the morning, well before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. Simon and those with him tracked him down. When they found him, they told him, "Everyone's looking for you." He replied, "Let's head in the other direction, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there too. That's why I've come." He traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and throwing out demons. A man with a skin disease approached Jesus, fell to his knees, and begged, "If you want, you can make me clean." Incensed, Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do want to. Be clean." Instantly, the skin disease left him, and he was clean. Sternly, Jesus sent him away, saying, "Don't say anything to anyone. Instead, go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice for your cleansing that Moses commanded. This will be a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and started talking freely and spreading the news so that Jesus wasn't able to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, but people came to him from everywhere. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, they grow up so fast when you watch the kids around you. We observe the kids in our lives and how they change and become who it is that they're going to be. One day, we find ourselves sharing the stats of their birth, especially grandparents, we like that stuff. 20 inches long, 6 or 7 pounds, born this time, this day, how much hair they have, what color it might be. That's all we really know about them when they're little. Now, a new parent probably starts to journal a little bit. They have those, you know, it's really hard to find baby books anymore, but they used to be a thing. We'd write down who the first visitors were, when their first bath was, what their first smile looked like, when they rolled over, their first words, their first teeth. These little notes in the book carry us through about the first 5 years of the child's life, and then those good old yearbooks take over, and they illuminate the next 12 years of a child. By graduation, we've got a book for pretty much every age from 0 to 18. Along the way, we marvel, wow, they grow up so fast. It's true, they do. Life changes when we're not ready for it. My voice is done, I guess. Here we are today in a book, the book of Mark. These past few weeks, we've hung out in some of our other Gospels. We have the Gospels that tell us about Jesus first, and who came to visit first, where Jesus was born. Matthew and Luke are the ones that give us these glimpses into the baby named Jesus. And they show us how he connected to the prophecies through the lineage of his earth parents and about his miraculous conception and birth. We get only one small glimpse of the adolescent Jesus who got lost from his parents, well, they thought he was lost, when he was in the temple teaching. But we don't really get to see his milestones as a child. Instead, we find more about the milestones of the adult Jesus. He grew up for us in an entirely different way. So whereas we celebrate the birth of Christ in Matthew and Luke, the other two Gospels, both Mark and John, don't start with a baby. They start at different sorts of births. In the book of John, we read, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." John starts at creation, the birth of the world and life upon it. Mark starts out in a completely different birth, the one that I read to you earlier, in the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son. So Mark begins his testimony with the birth of the church, the birth of the good news. So in 2 weeks' time, after we finally had arrived at the manger where Jesus was laid, now Jesus gives us the beginning and the birth of a generation of faith known as the good news. Of course, the birth has to start in water, right? Because babies are born from the waters of the womb. And so we start today in the waters of baptism. Because just like we're born from water, so our faith is born at baptism. We are also born again when we commit to that baptism. Mark's gospel didn't take time to start in the manger or any earlier. And I find that funny, and we're going to find out why here in a minute. But he sets the scene instead for the water of Jesus' baptism. That's Mark's personality. That's why it's so funny. Because he had to skip all that stuff to get into the meat of the story that he wanted to tell. Because Mark is always in a hurry. Did you catch that in the scriptures that you heard this morning? How Mark is always in a hurry. Everything is urgent and hasty and revealed. He alludes to the timing a little bit, too. He's always kind of got a reference to the time that anything was written. And I hope that I'm not confusing you too much, because I know I kind of talk in a circle, but hopefully I connect all this to you. He references time quite a bit in the text by saying things like, in the beginning of the good news. The beginning is a reference to time. And then a little later, he's talking about John the Baptist, and he says, about that time, Jesus came to John. Not particularly specific, but we learn by those words a little historic significance that Jesus and John the Baptist were at about the same time. He speaks to timing when he comes to the water. A dove comes down from the heavens, and then Bart gets excited. And he starts using excited words. At once, Jesus is carried from the water to the wilderness of temptation. These little timeline milestones are introduced in today's text, too. Because today, by the time Mark gets to these verses 21 through 45, he's very energetic. Immediately on the Sabbath, as soon as it was time to go to the church, Jesus was there. I know it wasn't called the church then, but we're going to say church today. And those who were there were amazed by the way that he taught. Another word he used was suddenly. So immediately he's in the synagogue teaching, and suddenly, in the middle of all of this, there's a disruption. A man who is filled with a demon makes a scene. And right away, news of this took place. Then he goes to the home of the mother-in-law of Simon and Andrew, and at once he heals her. He's using a lot of excited language to tell his readers this wonderful news that happened in the beginning of the good news. See, I think he was like so excited and couldn't wait to get in there and let everybody know how excited he was. But he used all this information in this first chapter to say, this is what it looks like when you know Christ. This is what it looks like when you know God. You're excited. And there's things that Jesus did then when he began his ministry that really sort of set a good pace for us as to what we can be and how we can live into the examples that Jesus set when he came up out of the water. Later, after folks started getting the print in their hand and reading this text of Mark, it became apparent that people might have wanted to know where this guy came from that did all these great things. And so after Mark was written, Matthew and Luke wrote their Gospels, and they included a bit more information, an origin story, if you will, about Jesus as a baby. So we don't have a lot of information on the Jesus scrapbook of when he was a child, but we do know when he was claimed by God through his baptism. And then the first chapter tells us what things Jesus did to live into that commitment, that faith. If we have come to our new birth, new Christianity, we might do well to look at the things that Jesus did in chapter 1. The first thing, right away, he was taken to the wilderness. He did not fall into the temptations of the flesh. How many people this morning have thought, man, I'm tired today. I could go for a good nap. Soft bed, warm blanket, maybe a snack beforehand because I could eat. Jesus was tired, but not tired like we're tired. He was tired, exhausted, days and days without a blanket or a pillow, and no food either. And here was this being promising Jesus the world and everything in it, all of the comforts the body could want, plus power to boot. We read the words temptation, that Jesus was tempted, and we think, well, gosh, if I was that tired and I was that hungry, I would think, yeah, that pillow does look nice. I would like a loaf of bread. But I think that that's a little bit of a misinterpretation on our part, because Jesus didn't look and think, that does look nice. Jesus just said no. Jesus didn't have to prove anything. He wasn't tempted, but the things that would tempt us were brought before him so that he could show us how to say no. He didn't do that to show that he was better than any of us. Instead, he did it so that we could strive to do something else and not say yes. To be Jesus-like as much as we can. So the first milestone is to reject temptation. The second milestone that Jesus showed us and we should strive for in our steps of faith is by going to the synagogue and teaching. Now, it doesn't say that Jesus passively woke up on the Sabbath morning and went, roads look good, I think I could go. No, Jesus could not wait to get to the synagogue. He was anxious to get there. Immediately, he was there as soon as he was able to be there. And when he got there, he also was active. He was an active participant in what was going on in the life of the synagogue, in the teaching. And he got up and he taught, and he didn't just teach. He taught in a way no one had heard before. Amazing those who heard him speak. What a difference. What an example Jesus was, an active participant in God's plan in a place that had been reserved and set aside for the worship of God. Who today gets that excited to go to worship? That urgent feeling that they need to be closer to God, and then can't wait to get there and serve God passionately. And then I notice another little thing here coming up in Mark 1:25. Oftentimes, we don't hear a lot of emotional expression reflected about Jesus. But Mark writes with inflection of feelings that Jesus was having. And he gives us a little glimpse into this. The gospel putting this reaction in there. The milestone number 3, Jesus had no tolerance for the demonic presence. He would not allow it. And so in verse 25, it says that Jesus spoke harshly to the demon. Often we see something in the Bible that harsh and Jesus don't seem like they go in the same sentence even, do they? And yet Jesus was harsh when he spoke to the demon. We don't see much about Jesus being frustrated. We don't see much about Jesus getting angry. But when he saw the demon hurting that man or woman in the presence of the synagogue, he could not tolerate it. He couldn't tolerate the person being grieved by it, nor could he tolerate the presence of this inside God's home. And so he stood up against it. And the way that he replied was harshly. Then the last milestone that I want to lift up is how he responded to the people around him who were suffering physical pain. Skin disease, fever, demon possession, all of those were in the scripture today. Whatever the affliction is, and it didn't matter the day of the week, whoever the person was, Jesus healed them. One of these was listed in verses 40 through 45. There was a man with a skin disease calling out to Jesus, and he said, "If you want to, you can heal me." Again, we hear an emotion applied to Jesus here. It says, and in the CEB, what was read this morning, it says Jesus was incensed, which really hit me sideways, because when we hear the word incensed, that means angry, right? And I thought, why would Jesus be angry at this man who called out to him? But so I went and I checked out King James, and it said that Jesus was moved with compassion and said, "I do want to heal you." See, the word incensed didn't match up with "I do want to heal you," except that in my mind, I'm thinking, Jesus wouldn't be angry with a person who was hurt. He would be upset that a person was hurting. He might have been incensed that this person was suffering, but not at the person. And so he was moved with compassion, and he said, "I do want to heal you." You see, Jesus couldn't allow corruption, a demonic possession. He couldn't allow suffering of the person who was being possessed, but also he couldn't allow suffering of a person afflicted with a fever or a skin disease. In many ways, all of these things are very similar. Now again, an emotion is applied to Jesus as he sternly says to the man that he has just healed, "Keep this quiet." Okay, he probably didn't say it like that. That's not very stern, is it? "Keep this quiet." Okay? He tells the demons to shut up. He tells them that because they know who he is, and he doesn't want them speaking out about who he is. He tells the newly healed man, "Keep this between us." Why? Because he didn't want anyone to know. It wasn't time yet for people to know who he really was. And because people did speak, then it says he couldn't go out openly and preach anymore. In fact, in the scripture, it says that when they said, "Oh, everybody's looking for you," Jesus said, "Well, let's go the other way." Now, I feel that. Everybody's looking for you. Let's go the other way. But what the problem was there is he couldn't get bogged down by just trying to take care of these things that would restore a body but not a soul. And so he needed to go on, to continue preaching, to continue giving the word to those who hadn't heard it so that he could restore souls. And so he says, "Keep this quiet. Keep this between us," which of course didn't work out at all. Because the first thing the man did was go out and tell everybody what Jesus had done for him. Jesus' first steps into his earthly ministry sets an example for us and how we could live out our baptism by rejecting the temptations of the world, by eagerly and actively drawing into the presence of God and being active participants in God's church. We can show our commitment to our baptism by standing firm against corruption. I'm not sure we would know what it looked like to see someone possessed by a demon today, but we can see corruption. We see when someone has a spirit in them that is not with God, and to help them find a better way. And then to be able to be unable to simply stand by and watch others suffer. Instead, we are called to reach out, not because we have to, but like Jesus, because we want to. Now, there is another example of what it's like to live out a life of faith that I want to point out to you here. Each person that was touched in the scriptures today reacted. The listeners in the synagogue were amazed, and that was their reaction, and they talked. The demons, in recognition of Christ, they reacted by screaming out and calling out, wondering who this is. The one with the skin disease, And he went and blabbed to everybody. Each of these were reactions to Jesus, but there was one, the mother-in-law. We didn't hear her name, but her reaction was pure. Verse 31 told us, he went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she served. This is the one. With a grateful heart, she didn't run off. She stayed and served Christ. So my prayer for us today is that we would do our best to look like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to follow the examples that Jesus set before us as to how to live into that baptism that we committed to. But I couldn't help but think to myself, you ever seen those t-shirts that say, be yourself, but if you can't be yourself, be Batman? Have you ever seen those? I think those are hilarious. So I couldn't help but think today, be like Jesus. But if you can't quite be like Jesus, be like the mom-in-law. Recognize what Jesus has done, and with a grateful heart, get up and serve. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for drawing us near to you today. We thank you that this place is open and that we can rush in. We thank you for setting an example for us of making the commitment, of being baptized, of allowing that moment when you can lay claim to us and say, you are mine, and then reacting to it, Lord. We just pray that we would be strong enough to resist the temptations of the world, that we would be strong enough to stand up against corruption and sin, and that we would be strong enough to help someone else that is suffering. Lord, we thank you for your example. And we thank you for the example of the one who just served in any way that they could. Lord, empower us. Put your spirit within us that we could live into this. We pray this in your name.